I'm Dr. Kimberly Manning.
And this is Dr. Ashley McMullen. And you're listening to the Human Doctor Podcast, where we explore the human side of medicine, along with teaching, living, learning, and all things in between. Using the power of storytelling, conversation, and connectedness.
Hey, we're two dope academic internal medicine doctors, but we ain't your doctors. So if you perceive anything we say here as medical advice, no, it ain't that. Also, the things we say, they only reflect our brilliant Black woman magic mind and not our employers.
You could have been anywhere, y'all, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate you. Let's go.
Do I have a story? Yeah, that's what Ashley just asked me right before.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I'm just letting y'all know how high grade our operation is. Hey, is it you or is it me?
Is it Look, you? This is very high quality stuff we're putting out here. There is a plan.
It is for our wellness. Mm-hmm. It is a two-woman operation.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Manning is sitting here looking quite cozy.
I'm getting my Ashley on. I have a blanket over me.
It's true. I am always cold. So
yes,
I feel like we're in solidarity.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Normally you are like showing up in like little, snuggly pajamas. And what do you have on today? What is that?
It's a hoodie.
Oh, it's not a snuggly, like one of those pajama onesie situations.
No, I didn't wear that today. but thank you for putting that out there.
No, you know what? One of our listeners was like, oh, sometimes you all are talking about what you're seeing in front of each other and we want to see. I'm like, no, you don't.
Sorry.
You think you want to see, but you don't want to see. So yeah. What's new, man? What's new in the Bay Area?
You know, I have to be honest. I am not a fan of daylight savings. I don't know. I'm sure that wasn't actually your question, but I really struggle with the spring forward. So that really has been on the forefront of my mind and how frustrated I am with losing an hour of sleep. But other than that, you know, the Bay Area is always on point, specifically the East Bay side. I love living in Oakland. I actually found this great new spot that's going to be my new hangout spot. It's called Cleo's Bookstore.
I was about to say, I said, it's called Trees and Stars.
I mean,
Trees, stars and books.
Whenever that place opens, that will be my new spot. But for now, this joint is like, I don't know, it feels reminiscent of like the Beat era, where it's just like this kind of like very divey basement level bookstore, and it has a little bar in it, so you can grab like your IPA, your whiskey.
Wait, you can get like grown up spirits.
Absolutely, it's a full bar.
Oh,
in a bookstore.
Cleo's for the win.
Yeah, and it's like low mood lighting, a couple couches, tables. You know, you can come have a conversation with a friend, or you could just ride solo, read a book, grab a drink. I was really happy to see that open in our neighborhood.
Do you know much about the owners?
I don't. I was trying to look online, but there was like a couple teenagers working, like reshuffling books. So it seems like a family affair.
Okay. Okay. I like that. That when you described that, it made me think of, remember I told you when I went to Philly, I went to that Harriet's bookstore, mm-hmm. Harriet's bookshop, which was awesome. And they also have another one called Uncle Bobby's bookstore. I don't know what they want to call it. Either way, kind of divey like that. I don't think any of those had full-on grown folk spirits in them.
Yeah. No. I mean, if this bookstore was Black owned and it had a full bar, y'all wouldn't see me anymore. Basically, I would have to set up shop there always. But
well, look, you got to take me to Cleo's when I come out there.
I will.
Yeah. We will make that happen. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that. That sounds really cool. That sounds like a cool thing to do over a weekend. Mm-hmm. That's like my jam. I love that. Mm-hmm. This weekend I decided that I would sit down and watch a couple of movies that were nominated for Academy Awards. Mm. You know, the Academy Awards were last night. I generally, on a scale of zero to care, I don't when it comes to the Academy Awards. But there's the part of me that, roots for my people. So I wanted to see, you know, what kind of contributions people who look like me made. So I watched American Fiction.
Oh my gosh. I'm still waiting to see that. Yes.
Absolutely brilliant. I will not say more because it will be a fun to talk to you about it at the top of one of our shows because it was so brilliant. I loved it. Loved it. They did win something, but Jeffrey Wright did not win Best Actor. I mean, there were a lot of people up for good roles this year, but that movie was really brilliant and worth my time. I don't really sit down and watch movies that much, so I felt like it was worth my time. Mm-hmm. I also watched The Holdovers. The Holdovers was a movie for which an actress by the name of Divine Joy Randolph was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. She was absolutely brilliant. She won for her role. And Paul Giamatti was also in that movie. He was nominated for Best Actor. And he was very, very good too. Those two movies, which I sat down and watched, along with a little bit of Abbott Elementary and interspersed in there.
Nice.
That's a good use of my time. I don't really watch that much TV or like movies, but that was good.
Same. But it's good to have those. When I have like a clear recommendation, I enjoy it. So
yeah, American Fiction, probably out of the things that I watched recently, is my clearest recommendation. It is so brilliant.
Okay.
Highly recommend. That's right. Right up there. I liked it. Anything else I should know about? This is where you were supposed to say, you mean other than the fact that May?
I'm so bad.
We're going to be where? Where are we going to be, sis? Where are we going to be?
Let me start over then. Yes. May 18th, y'all. SGIM, Society of General Internal Medicine. Your girls will be there. Come say hi to us. We'll be saying hi to y'all, naming hair.
Yep. Be there in like swimwear.
Yes.
Yep.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I was trying to, you know, I was trying to give her the underhanded pass, y'all. She didn't.
I missed it. I was looking. I wasn't even looking that way.
Okay, it's all good, though. It's all good. Yeah, we're going to be out there. We're going to be deep. And we are general internists, so we will be partaking in the meeting as well. We are like legit academic internists. So, you know, don't let the smooth podcast fool you.
Absolutely. I am particularly excited to sit here in my hoodie with my coffee and space heater
and
be wowed by another fascinating, brilliant, amazing story from one of the best storytellers of our generation, Dr. Kimberly Manning.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's a kind intro. Gave me plenty of time to get myself together.
I was watching. Yes.
I know you saw that, right?
All right, sis. Well, tell us what the what is.
The what is rejection.
Rejection. Ooh, okay.
Have we used that word? We can check the...
I know. Ask Jolene. She'll know.
And we can check the spreadsheet. Rejection. So today I have a story within a story because, you know, that's what I'd be doing.
I know, man. You'd be complicating it.
I know. I do. But I am telling this story because I think that sometimes there are people that look at someone or something from the outside and think that they always win. Like some people just stay winning. Mm-hmm. I have had people say to me that it seems like, you seem like you just be winning. You know,
I could see that.
You know, but I don't always be winning. I do go into things thinking I'm a win. So I'm like shocked when I'm not winning. So that's kind of funny. And that brings me to the first part of my story. So as you know, as I drink out of this Delta Sigma Theta water bottle,
yep.
I love my sorority, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. Yes. And arrived on the campus of Tuskegee University as a 17-year-old in 1988, feeling really confident that someday I hoped that I would get the opportunity to become a Delta while at Tuskegee. And you know what? I did. Mm. But what a lot of people don't know is that that path was not linear. In high school, there was a woman who inspired me to become a Delta. No Deltas in my family before me. Mm. And She said, when you get to college, I'm going to write your letter. You need to become a Delta. And I was like, bet. So I go to school and I am like, I got a plan. I'm going to get a 4.0. I'm going to get involved in a whole bunch of student activities. I'm going to do community service. So then when my time comes, I'm going to submit my application and I'm going to pledge Delta. And that is what I did. My first semester at Tuskegee, I got a 4.0. My second semester at Tuskegee, got 1B. I think it was in PE or something crazy. Like,
okay.
So I came out of that freshman year with a baller GPA.
Mm-hmm.
I was president of my dorm. I applied to be a university ambassador who gives the campus tours to dignitaries. You know, used to wear the little Tuskegee, you know, blazer and walk around and tour people and doing all the things, right?
Mm.
Sure enough, submitted my application as a sophomore. In my sophomore year, one evening, after we'd done the interviews and everything, I get a knock on my door and I open the door and I look through the window and I can see that it's some Deltas coming. So me, you know, going into most things thinking I'm going to win, I open the door and I have like, you know, this look on my face like, oh my gosh, it's about to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And the two women standing at the door, there is no twinkle of mischief in their eye at all. It does not look like they come in to bring me no good news at all.
Mm.
In fact, they look kind of like they were getting ready to hand me a folded up American flag. It was not looking good for me, but it had not occurred to me that I was like, okay, maybe this is how they do it. Maybe they mean mug you and they try to scare you. Because I'm like, why would they not pick me? Like, I'm awesome. Like, why would they not pick me? So they give me this piece of paper and ask me to read it. And I read the piece of paper and the piece of paper tells me they regret to inform me that at this time, they are not able to extend me membership.
Dang.
Now, this is this. So I take the paper and I look at it and I'm staring at them and I am confused. I'm truly confused because I'm like, well, wait a minute. Does this mean that you guys are having a line bringing in new members and that I just did not make it? Or does this mean that you all decided you're not going to bring in new members this semester? They looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, we're not at liberty to say that to you. All we can tell you is that as of right now, you will not be brought in as a new member of Delta Sigma Theta at this chapter. And I was like, well, dang. Okay. And they leave and it still has not really occurred to me what exactly happened. I didn't even know if I should feel sad. I didn't know how to feel. I was like, maybe they're not bringing in new members this semester. Maybe that's not a pledge class. Okay. So I'm sitting on my couch and my phone rings. And when I pick up the phone, it's one of my very close friends and she is hysterically crying. She was like, I didn't make it. They came and gave me this letter. And I was like, oh, wow, they just left my house, too. But I'm not sure if they bring in new members. She was like, what are you talking about? Of course there are. There's a whole line. We just didn't make it. I was like, we did it? She was like, no. And I wasn't even crying. I was just so stunned. I was like, wow. So I just sat there very like puzzled. I was like, well, that sucks. Because my plan was get a 4.0 my freshman year, pledge Delta my sophomore year. Run for Miss Tuskegee University because it comes with a scholarship, y'all. Mm-hmm. My junior year, get into medical school my senior year. This was really messing up my plan. And I was like, well, dang. So what people refer to that as is you got rejected. Mm-hmm. She tried to pledge Delta and she got rejected. So my sophomore year, I got rejected. And it was not like any, like there's no like really good reason for it. It's just like sometimes not enough is divided by too much. And there was not enough spaces for all the people that wanted to try to become Deltas that semester. And I was not in the number. And so I tried again. And the next time when they came to my door this time, they did have a twinkle of mischief in their eye. And I became a Delta the next round. Mm. And I say that to say that, you know, I like telling people that because it always surprises people when I tell them I didn't make it the first time. And no, it wasn't because, you know, it wasn't because somebody's boyfriend liked me. It was nothing. It was they did not pick me. And sometimes people will not pick you. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't try again or that you aren't a good person. It just means that this wasn't your time. And sometimes everybody can't go at the same time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. So I admit that was probably one of the best experiences to ever happen to me. Back then, it didn't feel like it. Obviously, it was hurtful when I walked up on campus and saw the people that got selected, and it was a bummer. But I knew I was going to try again. And I just learned from that that, sometimes doors seemingly close on you, but it really wasn't the door you were supposed to walk through. It was another door for you to walk through. And I was supposed to pledge Delta when I did. And I can't even imagine if I had made it when I tried the first time. So it happened as it was supposed to happen. But hindsight, it's really easy to do that, right? Looking back, like, oh yeah, it was supposed to happen. It was good. So I bring you into what inspired me to talk about this today. Today is Monday. It is March 11th. And today is what many in medical education know as the unmatched day. You've probably heard of Match Day. Match Day is this really exciting day, usually on a Friday in March. This year it's going to be on the Ides of March, where everybody rips open these envelopes and finds out where they're going to residency. And it's this whole like crazy system that somebody won a Nobel Prize for, where you put in the program list and the program's put in the list, and then they shake it in a box and people stick together and you find out on match day. What people don't know about is that unmatched day is where people who did not get a match and programs that did not get a match find out that they didn't match. As somebody who works in the space at Emory, I know a lot of medical students, and when someone has not matched, chances are I probably know them. And that's hard, because that is a form of rejection, right? It means you looked at all these places and nobody picked you. Nobody put you on their list high enough for you to stick. And that hurts. Okay. However, it's not necessarily the end of the world. And it could be a door that you were not supposed to walk through. And I get it. I was a residency program director for 16 years of Emory's transitional year program. Transitional year is a one-year program, as I've mentioned before, that tracks into advanced programs like dermatology, anesthesia, ophthalmology, et cetera. So 1 week during the match week, on Monday, the day that everybody finds out whether or not their program filled or whether or not they matched, my program got that lovely email that says, "Hey, your program has filled." And that is a very happy email to get if you're a program director, which means I spent the rest of that week chilling. I was like, yeah, I'm about to be chilling. Another part that was really extra specially chill about it was that I was scheduled for jury duty on that Wednesday, I think it was. So I was like, all right, well, I can go to jury duty and I'm not going to be stuck, trying to worry about my program or anything like that. Cool. So I go into jury duty. I'm sitting in jury duty. And the thing about jury duty is that while you're waiting for something to pop off, who are like bored, right? And fortunately, they had not taken our phones from us yet. I was still in the big holding room, right? So I'm sitting there with my phone in my hand and nothing else. And I open my email, and there's an email. And this email says, "Hello, Dr. Manning. My name is Jasmine." I'm gonna give her the name Jasmine. "Unfortunately, I did not match for a transitional year. However, I did match for an advanced program." And the place where she it matched for the advanced program was competitive. It's like, wow. It's like, I was wondering if there was any chance that Emory had a transitional year spot available. I immediately type back quickly, "Congratulations on matching for your advanced program. I'm so sorry, I can't help. We failed. Best of luck in your future endeavors." I end the email. Now remember, I'm sitting in jury duty, so I'm held captive. And next thing I know, bloop, bloop, I get another email. And I was like, okay. So I look, and it's from the same person. "Thank you so much for responding to my email. I saw that Emory failed, and I just thought that, just in case you knew of anybody, I'm going to provide my CV in case something pops up. I would really, appreciate if you hear of anything, but I really appreciate you responding to me because you didn't have to. Sincerely, Jasmine." All right. Well, okay, fine. So I'm sitting there, still bored. They haven't called me yet. So I decide, well, what do I have to lose? Let me just open up her CV and look at it from my phone. I open the CV up. And one of the first things I see on her CV is that she attended a historically Black college for undergrad. So at this point, for some reason, I'm seeing all this differently. I was like, so basically, this is a young woman at a very, very competitive institution who matched at her home program, the home institution for the advanced program, but did not match for the first year prelim year. That's crazy. That sounds terrible. I was like, that's awful. But now I realize I have racial concordance with her. Mm-hmm. And now I go to the program because I'm on my phone and I just try to look and see how many Black people are in leadership roles at that institution. Who was looking out for this person? Mm-hmm. Spoiler, hardly none. So it was really like nobody really looking out. And I was like, how does this even happen? This is so crazy. Mm. So right after I closed the email, I hear somebody say, Kimberly Manning and somebody else and somebody else, you are free to go. Your duty has been served. Thank you for your time. It's like 10 in the morning. Mm. I walk outside. I'm standing outside of the court and I'm staring at my phone and her cell phone numbers at the end of it. And I was like, I don't have a position. Why would I call her? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this is a Black woman who is hard on her luck at a place where there are not a lot of people clearly supporting her. Because if she is to the point where she is cold calling people over emails, she's desperate. So mm-hmm. I call her. And I was kicking myself as soon as I started talking to her because I immediately liked her. Mm. Immediately. Like, she was lovely. You know, she was so humble, so respectful, so grateful for my time. Oh, my goodness. You did not have to call me. Oh, I just knew you had gone to Tuskegee. I heard you speak somewhere before. And I am so sorry to bother you. This is not your problem. I'm so grateful. So I was like, well, I just wanted to meet you and just wish you luck. And I promise you, I'm going to ask around to a few people. She was like, I would really appreciate that. Thank you so much. So I reach out to people. I start calling people and they're like, no, we don't have no spot. You know, I'm talking to everybody I know, my colleagues from HBCUs, you know, seeing who could look out. Nobody is really, really, you know, able to help. But they're like, dang, you know, that's really kind of you, Kimberly. And I was like, yeah, I don't know why. But for whatever reason, I was feeling this internal pull to help this woman win. I don't know what it was. I have not had many things consume me. Ugh, it's gonna make me cry to consume me like this, but this was consuming me. I was like, because if that was me, I would want somebody to do everything they could to help me. And there was nobody helping her. Mm-hmm. So I talked to a few peers about it and talked to different people about it. A couple of doors seemed like they were about to open, but they would close. I had talked to a good friend of mine who was a program director at another program on the other side of the country. And we're talking and I was just telling her about the situation and how crazy I felt because I just wanted her to succeed, but there was nothing I could do. And she was like, well, you know, you did what you could. It probably meant a lot to her that you even talked to her. It's going to work out. So I am literally laying on my couch in my sunroom on an off day. And I was like weeping. Mm. And I was weeping because I felt like, you know, and you know, I'm a person who deeply believes in faith. And I was like, God, why would you put this on my heart if like you're not going to guide me somewhere with this? Like, why are you giving this to me if I can't do anything? Like, what does it have to do with me? Mm. And I reached out and spoke to a friend, Dr. Stacy Higgins, for some counsel. And she was like, you know, just be still. You did what you could. And then as soon as I hang up with Stacy, my phone rings. And it was the colleague at that other institution that I had kind of fleetingly told about this, the other program director, whose program failed. Her program was competitive. But something about the story compelled her too. This is not a Black woman either. This is not a person who went to a HBCU. This is just somebody who, for whatever reason, heard this story and felt convicted and had the funding at her institution to open up a spot for this person to come and do her prelim year.
Wow.
And she asked to meet her. She's like, I can't tell you what's going to happen. I need to meet her. I said, well, you meet her, you're going to want her to come to your program. Mm. And she met her and she came to that program. So on match day, when all her friends got to open up envelopes, she did too.
Mm.
And she went to that program. Not only did she thrive at that program, she met somebody while she was in that city that she wouldn't have no reason to go to. Her and that person are married, have a child. And in a full circle moment, Jasmine finished her her training and she came back to Atlanta, Georgia, where she had attended undergrad. And I ran into her in the lobby of Grady Hospital, where she is a board certified attending in her specialty.
Wow.
And I was like, damn. And I see her all the time, you know. But whenever I think about that day, one, I do think that, you know, there are things that just aren't accidents. Mm-hmm. Like if I had not been in jury duty that day, there is no way she would have had my full attention like she did. There's no way. I would have been too busy. If I had been called in to a case, I wouldn't have been able to call her when I did. If my friend had not called me from Pennsylvania to ask me about something else altogether while I was at the height of worry about this, I wouldn't have mentioned this.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things came together, but it all started with a rejection. It started with a rejection. It started, and her rejection was an extra sting because it was at her own institution and one group picked her and the other group like slammed the door on her and she was going to lose the advanced position. If you don't have the first year spot, you will lose your advanced spot.
Wow.
And she is thriving. She did really well in her prelim year. She did really well in her residency. She even did an advanced fellowship. And she is like leading in her field.
Mm.
She is killing it. I'm telling this story for somebody who is listening to this, who is feeling bad because they got rejected. And I think my message for anybody who is rejected at any point, because you will get rejected sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between being rejected and being a reject.
Mm.
I was never a reject. I just got rejected the first time I tried to pledge Delta. Air quotes, Jasmine was never a reject. She just got rejected by somebody who underestimated what she could bring to their department. Fortunately, somebody else did, and she needed to go where she went.
Yep.
She needed to go there for her life to be the life that, you know, she's supposed to have. Man.
Ooh. You know, for someone to match to an advanced program at a competitive institution and not get a prelim year, that's a failure of our system.
It is.
That's one point. Number two, I also didn't know that you didn't get a spot in Delta Sigma Theta the first time. This is the first time I'm hearing that.
Yep.
First of all, I love your response, which is just utter shock.
Wait a minute, wait.
But, you know, it speaks exactly to that mindset, because I can imagine for someone like me, how easy it is to kind of internalize that sense of being a reject. Like there is something intrinsically wrong with me that means that I don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to put myself out there again, it would be really, really challenging, because I would have to believe something different than the narrative that I've consumed based on that rejection. I've gone through that several times in various circumstances. When I look back on my life now, there is not a single thing that I didn't get that I regret, but it is hard.
I think there's another part too, that like when you are rejected or you don't, you know, get the thing that you wanted, sometimes people can gaslight you with their positivity, right? They can be like, oh, you know, God has a plan for you. There's things happen as they're supposed to. You'll see, you know. And while some of that may be true, at least with match day, there is a very specific thing that I do say to people who didn't match. And it is that I am so sorry that this very specific celebratory moment in time has been taken from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you, you know, go through the, you know, the SOAP process, which is the process for people who go unmatched to find, to pair up with programs that are unmatched or unfilled, it's still different than opening your envelope at 12 noon on match day and not knowing where you're going.
Yeah.
Even if you have a job. Now, what I will say is one of my closest friends did not match and ended up getting a spot outside of the match, like through the SOAP process. And one of the things she says all these years later is, you know, that sucked then, but the truth is I got a job just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. And like, real talk, she make more than me. So. Yeah. It's not hard to do. I work in academic medicine, y'all. So take that with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But I am sorry for somebody who has the disappointment of not getting to open up an envelope on match day.
Yeah.
It's so, so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of something like I can see somebody coveting that moment and everything. I can see it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I like what you said earlier about, you know, not gaslighting people with positivity. You know, I think that that's important to give people the space to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
And also the hope that, you know, this is one moment in time, but it doesn't speak to your ability or what plans might lie for you down this path that you didn't expect.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is like, I'm forever grateful that I was where I was that day to get that email, because the poise and the courage with which Jasmine kind of navigated that very uncertain situation,
mm-hmm.
I learned a lot watching her. She was so humble and she advocated for herself, and she was like, this is going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay.
Mm.
I also learned that like she had been lonely at that medical school out on the Eastern Seaboard for a long time. And maybe some part of her thought it was possible that she could have, you know, to deal with some hardship. Like maybe she had dealt with some hardships and she had been there. I don't know. But what I do know is watching the grace with which she handled every single step and how she was never entitled, like never.
Mm-hmm.
She was just like, oh, I would love to talk to this person. Oh yeah, it would be great. Listen, I appreciate everything you're trying to do. It's going to work out.
Mm.
It's going to be okay.
Wow.
Yep. So every time I'm in the electronic medical record and her name like floats up somewhere on a chart, you know, as a consultant, I'm just like, man, after all of that, you are at Grady Hospital on the faculty with a green attending badge, walking around here, knowing the answers to stuff that I am clueless about.
It all comes back to Grady, man. It
all comes back to Grady. And then even like a little slice of me wonders like, hey, I wonder if you coming to Grady, if any of that had anything to do with our interactions, you know. And I stayed in touch with her all through her training and everything. But yeah,
amazing.
You just never know, man.
Well, Jasmine, quote unquote, if you're listening, let us know. Let us know what the journey was back to Atlanta. But I am so moved by that story, both your response to that call. Because I mean, that's the other thing. Like, we're all so busy. And
yeah,
that
I think I have been set up in the right setting. That's why I as much as I would like to believe that I'm such a giving soul, I really was held captive.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had never opened up her CV, which 99.9999999% of the time I wouldn't have.
Yeah. Right. Disclaimer, don't send Dr. Manning a million CVs after this.
No, don't. Because it was just the planets aligned, you know, for this person. And one thing I do say is you can't do everything for everybody.
Yes.
You can't.
Absolutely.
You can't. And I do try to listen to my spirit. Like if something like I feel like deep in me is a pool. But this was so crazy how like how much I felt like I needed to do something, especially once I talked to her.
Yeah.
But, you know, just as long as everybody out there knows, just because you get rejected does not make you a reject. The only person who can make you a reject is you.
Is you. Absolutely. Yes. Words to live by. Sis, thank you for such a beautiful and relevant story for this week. And so much love to everybody who's going through the match process. Mm-hmm. And best of luck.
And best of luck to anybody who got a rejection letter from a sorority or a fraternity. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Just keep trying.
Yeah, keep trying. Yes.
Yes. I love you. Make it a wonderful week.
Love you too. That wraps up this week's episode of the Human Doctor Podcast.
Special thanks to our favorite brother gastroenterologist, Dr. Chuma Obinime, for the beats. Shout out to the Dr. Ashley McMullen for editing and production.
Mad love to our podcast family at The Nocturnist and the Clinical Problem Solvers, our Med Twitter fam.
And especially shout out to all of you, our listeners.
Until next week, remember,
we see you and you are enough. Holla! Holla.